Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I guess I should have wore my O.J. Simpson jersey yesterday because my Dallas Cowboys got murdered. And you might ask yourself, do you really have an O.J. Simpson jersey? Yes, I actually have two O.J. Simpson jerseys. And you want to know why? Because I make music videos for my music. If you haven't checked out my music, you can check out my music at katietrop.net. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you stream music. And you can just look up Katie Trop. Boom, shakalaka, there I am. You can also see my music videos on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/katietrop. Check them out. But in one particular video called Crazy Bitch, I actually do wear an O.J. Simpson jersey. We'll just say I do my best O.J. Simpson impression in this music video. And I did wear a O.J. Simpson jersey. And the reason why I have two is because I tried to order an O.J. Simpson jersey from the NFL, their website, NFL.com, but you're not allowed to buy an O.J. Simpson jersey. So I was able to just put, you can't even personalize it because that's what I was doing. I was going to personalize it, you know, with Simpson on the back, number 32. So I couldn't do that. So then I went to, you know, you can find, not official NFL jerseys online from China. And I did find an unofficial O.J. Simpson jersey from China. But unfortunately, it wasn't going to get here in time for the shooting of the video. So I did end up having to buy one on NFL.com. But I was able to personalize it where it said O.J. on the back and not Simpson on the back. So that is why I have two O.J. Simpson jerseys, because the one I ordered from China, I did order it, but it didn't come in time. So I have both of those. And yes, I do wear them. It's a really fun social experiment to do when you are a blonde white girl and you walk around wearing an O.J. Simpson jersey. Nobody's ever approached me or said anything because people are cowards and nobody will say anything to me. And even if they do, they're going to get a big old fuck you, because quite frankly, while yes, I do believe O.J. Simpson slashed Nicole Brown Simpson's throat and murdered Ron Goldman as well, he is not convicted of those things, but I, in reading the evidence and yada, 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 I believe he's the murderer behind it all. But beyond that, I've mentioned it many, 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 many times on this show. I am an O.J. Simpson fan. I feel he is one of the greatest running backs of all time. And he's a Hall of Famer. And yes, I wear his jersey with pride because I do think he's a great football player. So kill me. Yeah, how about that? So anyways, let's get to week 15 and the week that was, beginning with Saturday's games, because we did have three Saturday games. First, we had us a doozy to start off Saturday. It was the Minnesota Vikings at the Cincinnati Bengals. And man, Jake Browning, he is fitting in well for Joe Burrow, man. He's come right in, and he's actually playing really well. He had 324 yards and two touchdowns and an interception. And it was a crazy game because, you know, the Vikings really, they had a really solid lead going into the fourth quarter. They were up 17-3. Going into the fourth quarter, and then the Bengals were just able to rattle off three touchdowns and take the game into overtime. And T. Higgins made a huge, huge touchdown as well, where he just was reaching over the end zone, and it was crazy. Goes into overtime, and the Bengals are able to get the game-winning field goal, and they win 27-24. And I thought that was going to be one of the more boring games of the weekend. Turned out to be one of the most exciting games of the weekend. Then we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts. At first, the Steelers made this a game. You know, they had a blocked punt, and it looked like they were going to go and do some shit. And then, they were up 13-0, and then the Colts rattled off 30 unanswered points right after that. Gardner Minshew had 215 yards and 3 touchdowns. Michael Pittman Jr. had 78 yards. And it was just yet another bad game from the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I'm really not surprised at all, because as I've continued to say, I kind of feel like they're going to be the team that really starts to fall, and they will not make the playoffs. I don't believe in them as a playoff team. And they did pull Trubisky and put in Mason Rudolph. It looks like Rudolph is going to start the rest of the season, or he's going to at least start the next game. But the Steelers just looked really, really bad on offense. And the Colts, you know, they did what they do. They just get the win, and they are still right in line for the playoffs. So, like I said, Minshew had 3 TDs, and so they're looking pretty solid right now. And then the final game we had on Saturday was the Denver Broncos at the Detroit Lions, and it was a Detroit Lions massacre. They smashed the Broncos 42-17. Jared Goff had 278 yards and 5 touchdowns. Yeah, 5 touchdowns. He went to 5 different receivers as well on each one of those touchdowns. And, Jahmyr Gibbs, he had a big day as well on the ground, 100 yards and a touchdown. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 112 yards and a touchdown. And like I said, Jared Goff had 5 touchdowns, and it was a big, big smashing. And I mean, the Broncos just... It was like they weren't even aware that they were playing a game, but they looked pretty bad in this one, and the Detroit Lions looked pretty damn good in this one. Then moving on to Sunday's games, we had the Chicago Bears at the Cleveland Browns. This one actually ended up being a pretty good game. The Browns did get the close win, 20-17. Joe Flacco had yet another 300-yard game. This time he had 374 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. And even though he had the 3 interceptions, he was able to bounce back and take his team on the game-winning drive. And that's really just the Browns took over the fourth quarter and just were able to get it done when they needed to. Amari Cooper had the big game-winning play, 109 yards and a touchdown. The Bears, though, they played pretty hard for a 5-9 team. You know, they've had their ups and they've had their down. Well, they haven't really had many ups this season, but they've had their downs mostly. But this game, they actually played really hard and even had a chance. Justin Fields, he bombed a Hail Mary in the end zone, and unfortunately, his wide receiver just missed it. It, like, bounced right off of him, and he could have had it, but unfortunately, you know, just in that kind of situation, I imagine it's just nothing but hands in the air, and you're just kind of hoping for the best. But the Bears were right there to take the win away, but the Browns, they walked away with it. And the Browns are 9-5 and right in line for a playoff spot with Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback. And then we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Green Bay Packers. And who would have thought? Baker Mayfield went off yesterday. He had 381 yards, 4 touchdowns, and threw for the only perfect game in Lambeau Field. He's the only visiting quarterback to ever have a perfect game in Lambeau outside of Aaron Rodgers, and that was when Aaron Rodgers was the starting quarterback at the Packers. So congrats to Baker. He just had an excellent game. And the Buccaneers pretty much just owned this one from start to finish. They did get the win 34-20. Their defense really held it down for them when they needed to, but it was a really big day for Baker. And Chris Godwin also had a big day, 155 yards through the air. So big win for the Bucs. I don't think they're a threat in any way, shape, or form, but they do have a shot at the playoffs, because the AFC South is just, or I mean, the NFC South is just terrible. Them and the Falcons and the Saints are all in line for potentially winning it. But also the Bucs, if they keep on winning, if they don't win their division, they do have an outside shot at a wild card spot too. So you know, good for them. I don't expect them to be a threat in the postseason, but they looked pretty good against the Packers yesterday. And the Packers dropped yet another one. You know, it looked like they were about to make a big playoff run here, and it's looking like they're slowly slipping further and further away from potentially making the playoffs. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans. This one went into overtime, and it looked like it was going to tie. And I was like, God, please, don't tie. Can we just have somebody get in field goal range and magically make a field goal? Well, the Texans were able to do that. They were able to finally get into field goal range in overtime and get the win 19-16. Case Keenum did have to play for C.J. Stroud yesterday. Stroud was out with a concussion, but Keenum stepped right in and didn't really have many problems. He passed for 229 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. And they just really overall had a pretty solid day. The Titans, they are now officially eliminated from playoff contention, and just another solid win from the Texans. Then we had the New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins, and the Jets were just not aware that there was a game yesterday because the Dolphins won 30-0. I mean, that's pretty much the Jets' season. They're 5-9 on the season, and of those 9 losses, it kind of feels like the majority of these losses from them have been 30-0 or 31-7 or 31-3. Like, they just get completely obliterated, and yesterday was just another example of how that's going to happen to them. Tua Tagovailoa had 224 yards and a touchdown. Raheem Mostert had 42 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground yesterday. And then they did not have Tyreek Hill yesterday. It was actually announced right before the game that he was not going to play. Well, it did not matter. Jaylen Waddle stepped right up. He had 142 yards and a touchdown. And it was a huge victory for the Dolphins over the Jets. And the Jets now have officially been eliminated from playoff contention. And, hey, this week, it looked like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's been progressing really, really well from this Achilles injury. And he's been kind of hinting if the Jets are in it, which we all knew the Jets were not going to be in it. But even if they were, this offensive line is just atrocious. And so, in my opinion, you don't want Aaron Rodgers coming off of this Achilles injury and going out there. Yes, I mean, it looks fantastic that he has healed so quick. But let's just save Aaron Rodgers for next year. There is no need to put him behind this horrifying offensive line, especially now that a team that has no shot at a playoff chance, just keep him rested and ready for next season. Do not bother putting him in the game because you will not be shocked if he tears his Achilles yet again behind this porous offensive line from the Jets. Then we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the New England Patriots, and this went as expected. The Patriots actually did make it a game to start. You know, they actually had a couple interceptions. They were making some big plays on defense. But then the second half started, and the Chiefs just ran away with it. They got the win 27-17. Patrick Mahomes had 305 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Then Rasheen Rice, he showed up again. He had 91 yards and a touchdown. And it really wasn't an impressive win from the Chiefs, especially because they were just playing the terrible-ass Patriots, and pretty much everybody's beat up on the Patriots. But they still got the win, and that's all that matters. Then we had the New York Giants at the New Orleans Saints, and the Saints brought the Giants right back down to earth. They smashed the Giants 24-6. David Carr had 218 yards and 3 touchdowns through the air, and it just really was a huge defensive game from the Saints. And really, you know, the Giants are a terrible team, and they just have, you know, got lucky in these last couple of games. Everybody was kind of hyped up over what they've been doing. I don't know why. But they were, but the Saints knocked them right back down to earth in this one. Then we had the, this was a shocking game. Not because of the final score, but because it was a sight to see. So this was the Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers were able to get their second win of the season, 9-7. The story of this game has nothing to do with what happened on the field. As you can see by that final score, not a lot happened on the field this day. But what the shocking thing was to see the attendance of this game, okay? So the Carolina Panthers, obviously, not one of the most popular teams in the league for many reasons. I mean, for one, they are an expansion team. They did not become a team until 1997, so they don't have any type of rich history like a lot of teams like the Packers or the Bears or the Lions or the Browns or the Cowboys. There's a lot of teams that have been in the league since the 60s and beyond, like the 50s and the 40s and the 30s. So there's teams that have been around like for 100 years at this point. The Panthers, not so much. They are a, quote, newer team. They, like I said, they did not become a team until 1997. And so it's hard to really get going. Also, they haven't really won anything. Yes, they have made it to two Super Bowls, but they have not won two Super Bowls. Being a winner of Super Bowls definitely helps. But they are on the lower side of popularity when it comes to fans. But whoa, I saw some pictures from this game yesterday. Before the game started, it looked like there was only like 100 to a couple hundred people in the stadium before the game started, or like right before the game started. Then you could see some people kind of trail in. Now, it also, not only are the Panthers terrible this season, you know, going into yesterday's game, they only had one win, and they're out of playoff contention. And a lot of the fans are pissed off at the owner because he's just made some terrible decisions as of late. So there really wasn't a reason to go to yesterday's game. Also, before the game, some of these tickets were going for as little as 35 cents. Yeah, you heard me. Some tickets to an NFL game were being sold for 35 cents. So you could have gone to a football game yesterday like it was the 1930s and paid 35 cents for a ticket in. But anyways, the weather was terrible yesterday too. It was a bad rainstorm and it was like a huge downpour, which is kind of one of the reasons why it was a low scoring game. But it was the weirdest thing to just look at these pictures of like nobody in the stadium. We don't have final numbers of how many people were in the stadium. Apparently, the record low for an NFL game is 10,000, I believe it was, like 10,740, something like that, for a game back in the 90s. I want to say like 90. It was the Houston Oilers. It was their last year. What was that, like 95-ish around there? So it's the last year the Oilers were in Houston. And there was only like 10,000 people. They were playing the Bengals, so these are not good teams. And also the Houston fans were pissed off that they were leaving, so they were trying to show their pissed offness. And so only like 10,000 people showed up for that game, and that's the record low. This one is probably going to break that, and that says a lot because, you know, stadiums are bigger now, and, you know, you're just not used to this happening. But it's looking like the early guesstimates from yesterday that there's only like 5,000 to 7,000 people at yesterday's game. So this is probably going to break that record low attendance record. And that's pretty sad for the Carolina Panthers, especially when you could have gone to yesterday's game for 35 cents. How crazy is that? Then we had the Washington Commanders at the Los Angeles Rams, and even though the final score is kind of close, the Rams just obliterated the Commanders 28-20. I'm going to keep it real. I've been kind of saying Ron Rivera is going to be on the outs for the majority of this season. I don't know how dude still has a job after yesterday's game, because the Commanders just keep getting worse. You know, they showed some spark at the beginning of the season. And then they traded away Chase Young and Sweat, their two best defenders, and they just really haven't put anything together. They've just been atrocious. I mean, they're 4-10. And yesterday's game, they just had some sequences where they just had no idea what was going on. And just Ron Rivera always has this, like, look of, like, where am I on his face every game. And I'm just shocked that today he still has a job. Maybe the Washington's just hanging on to him just because who cares, but I fully expect Ron Rivera to be fired by the end of the season. But on the other side of the spectrum, the Rams, they're playing pretty good. I mean, Matthew Stafford, he had 258 yards through the air and two touchdowns. Kyren Williams had 152 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And then they just really, he was able to find Cooper Kupp for a wide open 62-yard touchdown. And then, of course, Nacua also had a good game. So the Rams are really putting it together offensively at the right time, and they could be one of these last teams that sneak into the playoffs. Then the late afternoon games we had, that was a late afternoon game. Then the other late afternoon games we had, the San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals, went just as expected. The 49ers obliterated the Cardinals 45-29. Brock Purdy had an amazing day, 242 yards and four touchdowns. McCaffrey had an amazing day, 115 yards and a touchdown. And really just no surprises here. The Niners just keep on rolling and the Cardinals just keep on losing. Then we had just a terrible ass game. Dallas Cowboys at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills obliterated my Cowboys 31-10. This was just a poor showing from the Cowboys. I mean, first of all, we spotted them 21 points on three stupid ass penalties. That just helped set up the Bills to just score on all three drives. We just helped give them 21 points there. But that, I'm not taking anything away from the Bills. I mean, defensively, they locked down the Cowboys receivers. They just had Dak Prescott running for his life yesterday because nobody was open. Tony Pollard couldn't get going on the ground, couldn't find CeeDee Lamb. And then the Cowboys defense just got smoked on the ground. Cook had an amazing game on the ground, 179 yards and a touchdown. They pretty much ran the ball on every single play, and we couldn't fucking stop them. It was pathetic. So hopefully, you know, the good thing about the Cowboys this season, when they lose, they usually bounce back. So hopefully that's the case after this week, because this was an embarrassment. And but the Bills, on the other hand, good for them. They are not in the playoffs yet. If the playoffs were to start today, they are still on the outside looking in. But if they keep playing the way they're playing, they should make the playoffs. And, you know, defensively, they're locking it down. It's just offensively is where a lot of their questions lie, just because they tend to turn the ball over. But if they play like they've played the last couple of games, especially on the ground, because Cook has been, ever since Cook has been the focal point of their ground attack, that's when they started to win. So we'll see what happens with the Bills if they're able to still sneak into the playoffs. They still have a shot at winning their division, but if they played like they did yesterday, they should have no problems getting into the playoffs. Then we had the Sunday Night Football matchup, the Baltimore Ravens at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, the Ravens did what the Ravens do. They smashed them 23-7. There are really no answers for Lamar Jackson. That guy, if the Ravens are able to stay healthy through the rest of this season and through the playoffs, and by healthy, I mean Lamar Jackson needs to stay healthy. If he has no issues, I feel like the Ravens are a shoe-in for the Super Bowl. And I know a lot of people want to go with the Niners. And I'm not saying that's a bad choice, because the Niners are obviously the most talented team. But the thing about Lamar Jackson is he's too difficult to stop. And that's what he did all night to the Jaguars. I mean, it's what he's done all season. But with the Jaguars in particular last night, you could just see it. Like, there were multiple times where they could have easily sacked him, but he was able to get out of it. And just the way he's able to extend plays is really something else. And that's why I really think the Ravens are the top team in the league right now. When it comes to my power rankings, I'm probably going to keep the Niners there at number one. But as far as, like, teams I look at who could win the Super Bowl, just judging on what they've done this past weekend and all the way leading up, Lamar Jackson is just such a weapon that he's so difficult to stop. He does make some stupid mistakes sometimes with interceptions. But, I mean, just what he's been doing this season, he tends to now run with purpose. He's no longer just immediately running. He's actually thinking about it and staying more in the pocket, and he's just really making some good decisions, and he's just such a great weapon to have. I don't know who's going to be able to stop him. And that's what he did last night with the Jaguars. Now, it also helped because the Jaguars' offense just could not they made so many dumb, boneheaded mistakes. There was a sequence right before halftime. They were driving, and they were able to get into scoring position, but they didn't spike the ball. And they had, like, I want to say, like, 23-ish seconds left when they got up to snap the ball. So they should have spiked the ball. They did not spike the ball, and they couldn't even get a field goal. They couldn't even get a field goal. And that's just, when you do that, you just can see it's not your night. And it was not their night. And the Ravens really just held on to it. Their defense played a great game. Offense played a great game. And the Ravens were able to walk away with the win 23-7. And they are the number one seed. And they do have some big games coming up. But like I said, I think if Lamar Jackson continues to play at the level he's playing at, he is too much to stop. And he's just playing at such a high level right now, and his receivers are starting to step it up. You know, his receivers didn't have a big night last night, but we all know that they can make the big plays when they need to, and Lamar is just having a year. So, and the defense is so good that nobody even talks about them, but they are one of the top three defenses in the league. And they lead the league in sacks, and they just look so goddamn good. The Jaguars, on the other hand, really starting to fall apart at the wrong time. And I don't know what we're getting from them. And they just made some really bad mistakes yesterday. And they've been making some bad mistakes. And I think they're on a three-game losing streak now. So I don't know what we're going to get from the Jaguars headed into the playoffs. But they are falling apart at the wrong point in the season. Now moving on to the Monday Night Football game tonight, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now the Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite, and there's a possibility we may not have either starting quarterback tonight. Jalen Hurts has been battling an illness all weekend, and he was downgraded to questionable like 2 days ago, but usually when a guy's sick, they tend to play. So I'm expecting Hurts to play tonight. And then on the other side of the field, we've got Geno Smith, more than likely not going to play. Can't recall what his injury is. I think it's a groin. I don't know. Regardless, it's looking like he may or may not play. So it's going to be that type of game. But regardless, I just feel like the Eagles are the better team. They're coming off of two losses here. So I think they've got a lot to prove. They want to get back on the winning track. Seattle seems to be falling apart as the season goes on. And if they don't have Geno Smith tonight, then I really don't think they have much of a shot against the Eagles. So I have the Eagles winning big tonight, 28-17. Now let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for the week. We do have little bit of movement. A couple of teams have stormed their way back into the top 10 this week. But there's like four teams this week who their last week of basketball has just been straight up dominating blowouts. So let's get it started with who's pretty much been number one all season long, the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 20-5. They are the first team to 20 wins. They're on a five-game winning streak right now, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. And this is one of the teams that's been obliterating every team. On this five-game winning streak, pretty much every game has been like a blowout by 20 points or more. Now Jaylen Brown is starting to come out of his shell. You know, he's kind of had a quiet season compared to everybody else on the team. But he just had a huge game earlier in the week, and the Celtics, they just look damn good. There's really nothing else to say about it, and so they still got to be number one. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Philadelphia 76ers, overall record of 18-7. They are on a six-game winning streak, and they are also 8-2 in their last 10 games. They are also winning in blowout fashion by like 20-plus points all week. And Joel Embiid, his stats are just getting more and more monstrous. Every week he keeps just pulling further and further away from everybody. Right now he's averaging 34.2 points per game. Last week he was averaging 33. So this dude's getting higher and higher. And then also on the rebounds per game, averaging 12 rebounds per game, whereas last week I think it was 10 or 11. Regardless, Embiid is just playing at a monster level this season. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 19-7. They are on a four-game winning streak and are also 8-2 in their last 10 games. And also winning with huge blowouts. I mean, they are also winning by like 20 or more points. Giannis just scored a career-high 64 points earlier in the week. So he's speaking of monster seasons, Embiid's having a monster season, so the fuck is Giannis. Giannis seems to be getting better and better with each and every game. So do the Bucks overall. Right now they are second in points on the season. They're averaging 124 points per game, so they are just blowing everybody out of the water and really, really taking care of business. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 19-5. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. And Rudy Gobert, this guy has been, I'd say, the main reason why they're winning, because he's owning it in the paint. He's playing great defensively. He's scoring points. And then you've got Ant scoring a bunch of points. You've got Karl-Anthony Towns having a great season. They just are really putting it together. And the Timberwolves have yet to really show any cracks. They've so far, and it's weird to say this, but they have so far been the best team in the Western Conference for the entire season. I mean, they're the most consistent for sure. And they seem to be getting better as the season wears on. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Sacramento Kings. Overall record of 15-9. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And, you know, they just had a huge breakout game with one of he was on the all-rookie team last year, and that is Keegan Murray. He hit 11 straight three-pointers. He would end up with 12, but he would end up with 11 straight in that night, and he would also end up with 47 points on the night. So it was a career high for him, obviously, versus the Utah Jazz. But really, the Kings, they've been excellent since De'Aaron Fox got back from injury. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that I said is storming up the top 10 because they started the season off pretty hot. Fallen off the last month, but they seem to be back in business, and that is the New Orleans Pelicans. Overall record of 16-11 right now. They are currently on a four-game winning streak and 7-3 in their last 10 games. But they have been blowing everybody out of the water lately. Zion has been a beast in the paint, and Ingram has been just scoring the points. And they're just really, the whole team overall is just playing great team basketball. They've been very, very streaky for me. So right now they seem to be on the upside of things, but if they keep this up, they're going to be a force to mess with out West. And right now, they're looking pretty damn good. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Dallas Mavericks. Overall record of 16-9, 6-4 in their last 10 games. And it just continues to be the Luka Doncic show. He is leading this team in just about every single category you can. He's averaging 33 points per game, 8.3 rebounds per game, 9 assists per game. So, and he is 2 steals per game. He just is doing it in every single way. Yeah, it all seems to be on him at the moment, so that's probably going to start to wear on him as the season wears on. But right now, the Mavs are looking pretty damn good, and Luka is just on some. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 17-10. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They actually are 3-1 as of last week. They're finally starting to get it going now that the injuries, now that they're getting guys back from injury. You know, Jokic has held it down. The guy's the triple-double king, has not stopped being the triple-double king. He also leads his team in every single category, basically just like Luka. But now that the injury bug, they had to deal with a few injuries, especially to Jamal Murray. But now that they seem to be battling through that, they seem to be getting back on track. And the Nuggets, while they're ranked low, who the fuck cares at the end of the day? They're still a good team. They still have Jokic. And I expect them to be one of the top teams all season long. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the team that has taken a tumble this week, and there is a reason why, and that would be my Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 15-11. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games, but a huge, they're doing the Jekyll and Hyde thing, where it's just they're on and off every game, but a huge, huge, huge disappointing loss this week. The San Antonio Spurs We're on an 18-game losing streak when they went up against my Lakers a couple nights ago, and the Lakers lost to them with LeBron in the game. This was not the game that LeBron sat. As a matter of fact, the game that LeBron sat, Anthony Davis went off and had a great game, and we got that win. But the following game against San Antonio, we lost and broke their 18-game losing streak. You don't want that fucking shit on your season, and that shit pissed me off. The Spurs have 4 wins on the season. They are, them and the Pistons are the most pathetic teams in the league right now. And the Lakers helped them finally get one of those 4 wins on the season after an 18-game losing streak. Ugh, that's terrible. So that really pissed me off, and that really just made me give them a tumble all the way down from last week where they were, what, like 4 or 5? They were up there, but this week they took a tumble because that is just pathetic in my opinion. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 16-8. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games, and they just really are playing really well. They just have yet to fall off. Chet Holmgren is just the blocking king. And not only that, man, this team is just killing it from three-point range. And they are just putting it together. Now, who knows if it's going to last all season? But like I keep saying, you know, Holmgren's making a huge case for Rookie of the Year because, like I said, the Spurs have 4 wins on the season. And yes, Wembanyama has pretty much been what we expected. He's been very consistent for the most part, but his team has 4 wins, whereas the Thunder and Chet Holmgren has been a huge reason why, as this team has 16 wins. They're 16-8, second in their division, been one of the top teams all season long, and Chet Holmgren has been a huge part of the reason why they keep winning. So I don't know, man. At this point, to me, Holmgren is the Rookie of the Year. Now, it's very, very, very early for those type of predictions on the award, but I know everybody thought Wemby was running away with that Rookie of the Year just because he's such a high prospect, but Chet Holmgren is making a huge case for Rookie of the Year, and if the Thunder keep playing at this level, and if they make the playoffs, and because Holmgren has a good season, sorry, y'all, he's got to be the Rookie of the Year for sure, but Thunder, man, I keep putting them at this number 10 area because I'm really not sure about them. I'm not sure about them, but I mean, they've maintained it all season long, so we'll see if they're able to maintain it, you know, through the next couple of months and see where they're at come All-Star break. But right now, Oklahoma City Thunder are probably the most surprising team in the league, I'd say. I mean, especially when it comes to this this top 10 here. I mean, the majority of these teams, like the Celtics, 76ers, Bucks, Timberwolves, Kings, even the Mavs and the Nuggets and the Lakers, you know, like these are teams we kind of expected to be in the mix. The Thunder, I really kind of expected them to really go through some growing pains, and they actually just have been one of the top, most consistent teams all season long. So we'll see if they're able to keep it up. But like I said, Chet Holmgren looking like the Rookie of the Year at this point. Can't really argue with that. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you all on Wednesday.